Turning in our Bibles to 2 Timothy, we're going to go to 2 Timothy, and we're going to read, we'll start with the 15th verse, and thank the Lord. When you have it, would you say amen? All right, the Word of the Lord says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Somebody say approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. New Living Translation says, work hard so you can present yourselves to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of God. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Avoid worthless and foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, somebody say in the church, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And just because I like it, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Look at your neighbor and tell him, a clean heart. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, vessels approved unto God. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Vessels approved unto God. This scripture text talks about being purged. Being purged is to be cleaned up or to be cleansed. Sanctified means to be purified or to be holy. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who he's delegating this book. He's writing to him. Timothy is his son in the gospel. He's penning this from a imprisonment while in Rome. Paul was at the end of the line. The sidewalk of Paul's life was about to end. And in fact, it is in this setting, this exact setting, that the Apostle Paul pens the famous verse of 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was virtually alone in prison, and he even mentions how that some of his fellow companions had even abandoned him during this time. He's very personal. I've read and have preached from this next verse before, but in 2 Timothy 4 and 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He's writing to Paul, or to Timothy, who was at that time the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he tells Paul in Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. And he talks about Cretans left to Galatia and Titus and to Dalmatia. And the Apostle Paul, these 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus is what we refer to as the pastoral epistles. And this is the last, arguably the last book that Paul ever wrote. And so he tells Timothy, or he tells us, that only Luke is with me. In 2 Timothy 4 and 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable for the ministry. It's very sobering when you read this and you understand the life of the Apostle Paul, what he endured, what he went through. And I'm going to kind of weave in and out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's about 26 verses there. And 2 Timothy's, in my opinion, a short epistle. not as short as Titus or Jude, but it's only four chapters long. It's not very long. But I'm going to weave it in and out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 specifically. And you're looking or you're hearing from an elder writing to Timothy, a younger generation, and he's sharing with him some things. He's telling him that, you need to be a vessel that is approved unto God. There's a lot of times that we're looking for approval and, we seek approval, but, he's saying that, throughout the scripture setting of chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, you understand the heartbeat of this apostle. His priorities were sound doctrine, steadfast faith, confident in endurance of serving the Lord, and a love that is lasting or forever long suffering. It's the apostle Paul is writing, and he's telling us today that we need to seek the approval of God and to be vessels who we are. I've talked about us being earthen vessels, but we're the vessels, and we need to ensure that we are approved of God, that God is approving of us. And living for God takes some discipline. Well, in fact, if you look at the word discipline and you look at the word disciple, there's a connection there. So if you want to be a disciple of God, and some of our theme this year is steadfast discipleship, we need to have some discipline. There's got to be some discipline with our walk with God. Discipline is self-control. It's orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. It's instruction. It's control gained by enforcing obedience or order. We need to be have some discipline with our walk with God. We need to be orderly, or we need to ensure that we are submitted, not just to the apostolic voices, but ultimately to the Word of God and to God Himself. And I wonder tonight, do we still have a passion, or do we still have a desire for sound doctrine? I know that there's a lot of places and other places of worship and different philosophies. And as Paul would say, don't listen to the babbling or idle talk. But I wonder if we still have a passion to be steadfast in our faith. In fact, if you read in the scripture of 2 Timothy chapter 1, right around verse 5, he talks about Timothy's unfeigned faith. And how that he admired that. And do we still have an unfeigned faith? Do we have a faith that is enduring and is not easily pushed over? Do we have confident endurance with our walk with God and a long-suffering love for people? Let me just kind of drop an anchor here right now, just because I feel it something appropriate. I want to make sure we hold on to something. But Acts 2:38 is still sound doctrine.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is not a way. It is the plan of salvation. It is the new birth. The scripture says he must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That is sound doctrine this evening. There, and what also is sound doctrine is Acts 2:39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. There is no grandkids in serving the Lord. We're all children of God. Somebody say amen. Sound doctrine is also understanding that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. That is sound doctrine, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, in all, and through us all. That is sound doctrine. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That is sound doctrine. Galatians 3:20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Isaiah 44:6, again, sound doctrine. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. There is no God. Just because we can, but 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, tell your neighbor, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There's no controversy about that. There's no fable. That is not a philosophy. That is the infallible Word of God. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up in glory. He's the Father in creation, Son in redemption. He's the Holy Ghost in regeneration or living in us. There's no controversy with that. And in fact, Colossians 2 and 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And I like verse 10 where it says, "And ye are complete in Him." Amen. He completes you. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:58, he tells us, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So he's telling Timothy, the first point I want to make tonight, got 2 points, is whose approval are you seeking? Approval is the act of approving. It's formal permission or sanction. It's the authorization. It's the blessing. It's the consent. It's the nod. There's a lot of people, us, myself included, that are seeking approval. Let's think about that. We live in a day and an age where approval is at an all-time high. Let's think about this. Bills have to be approved. Houses have to get inspected and improved. Relationships need the approval at some point in time of the parents or mentors. And we're constantly looking for approval from others in our formative years. Sad to say, some are still seeking approval from people that never had given them approval. And they're looking for that approval in a lot of people, places, and things. But that's another subject, maybe for stronger families. Just think back to as a kid. Now, I know this isn't the case for all, but I think there's a principle here. But we were at times we're looking for approval on the playground, whether we were going to be one of the first or two picked to be on the kickball team or not. Right? Nobody wanted to be picked last. Does the popular kid on the playground or in school, do they approve of your shoes, your Pro Wings? Right? Sometimes the older you get, the more approval, or you tend to covet the approval of somebody. Let's just be real. The more people you manage or lead, the more opportunity there is for disapproval. But if you're focused and sincere and determined to get to heaven, you understand what Paul is writing to Timothy. And I understand he's speaking in a from a ministerial standpoint, but this is for application here for all. He says, "But show thyself approved unto God." We need to ensure that we're seeking the approval of God, because then you're not looking for the approval of man or your job or your finances to approve you or give you status, because by earthly standards, the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ Himself didn't have a whole lot of material things. But rather, we want and we need for God to approve of our lives. Do we wake up? Do we have the same passion of approval for God and for the things of God that we have for the boss when we go to work? Do we work overtime spiritually and eager to work overtime spiritually as we do for the secular world? There's a lot of rhetorical questions tonight. I want us to chew on this. Scripture says to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman. We're all workers, a servant of God. Need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Work hard, the scripture says, so you can present yourselves to God and receive His approval. When you can get comfortable in knowing that you were created by God and He is the ultimate approver, your life can become a whole lot less stressful. Think about that. Man will tell you that in order to be approved, in order to be accepted in certain circles of people, you need a certain car. You have to wear a certain brand of clothing. You have to have a certain purse, certain level of education, or look a certain way, or speak in a specific manner, be at specific places for certain trends. And if you don't meet that approval level, they kick you to the curb, or they shun you, or they ostracize you. But the scripture says that in a great house there are many vessels, and there's different vessels, and some of gold, some of silver, some of wood, some of earth. We're all different. We all have a purpose. Everybody here has a purpose. But earth and wood do not stand the test of the fire. Earth and wood cannot stand the heat of a trial. But gold and silver, they're purified. They're better. They're stronger. There's some of us that we are consumed, or we are entertaining, or we are associating ourselves with vessels in the church and out of the church that are wood and earth, and birds of a feather flock together. But I tell you what, I want to be a vessel that's approved by God. I want to be a vessel of gold, that though I be in the fire, I go through it and I'm more purified. That knowing that the trial and the testing of your faith is not a punishment, but it is something to rejoice and to be joyful with, because God's trying to form us into a vessel that He can approve.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Why the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. When you study to show thyself approved unto God, you don't have a problem being submitted to spiritual leadership. You don't have a problem reading something in the Word of God and saying, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But if the shoe fits, I got to wear it. If it's because I want God to approve of me. We're going to be judged and measured by the book. The scripture says every idle word, right? James 4:17. Some of you are starting to be able to quote it and know what I'm going to say when I say it. But him that knoweth to do good and do it not good, to him it is a blessing, right?
Sin.
Oh, it's a sin. Do we study? Do we work hard? Do we labor? In fact, when you look at that word study, it means to be diligent, to be prompt, to be earnest. Are we prompt and earnest and diligent with the approval of our life before God? See, Jude 1:3 tells us to contend for the faith. That means to fight for it. So just like a wrestler, that there may be twists and there may be times of much conflict, but we contend for it. We fight for it. Are we diligent and faithful in our places of employment and education, but we're lacking in diligence with our walk with God? Just asking. The Bible says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then he says, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Do we have a form of that? Or are we really doing that? See, this is an elder writing to a different generation saying, I'm at the end of my rope, end of my life, and I'm writing this. And I'm telling you some things that you need to be aware of. In fact, I love it when he gets, in fact, I may even preach it on Sunday maybe, but he gets to 2 Timothy, I want to say it's right around verse 4, he tells them, in the last days there's, in chapter 3, in the last days there's going to be perilous times. When you know that there's going to be perilous times, but you're seeking the approval of God, perilous times could come and go, and it don't matter. Because you're rooted and grounded on sound doctrine. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, I remember having to learn this the hard way. I used to have a tendency of being like some folks in this room, of learning things the hard way. But then I gave that battle up a long time ago. It's not fun learning things the hard way. But do we look for the approval of men or of God? Are we behaving in a manner that God would approve of? Are we acting one way at church and then we act a different way the rest of the week? Do we act one way when we're talking to people on the phone from church, but we talk and our conversation when we're away from those people is completely contrary to what we say we are? because we want to fit in, right? We are not chameleons. We are called to stand out. We are called to be different. The scripture says, come out from among them and be separate. We should not be chameleons. I know there's a lot of chameleons in the world, but we are not called to be a chameleon. We are not called to blend in. We are not called to act one way with some folks and a different way with other folks, and to dress one way when we're on vacation and dress another way when we're at church. We are called to be holy because He is holy. How about this? Are we limiting our worship, our dedication to God based on the approval of others? Right? I remember as a youth pastor, you'd go to a youth rally with your kids, and if one person in the youth group was going to worship, then they all worshiped. But then sometimes you had one of those days where they wouldn't worship, and you would say we all worship together, and the fire became contagious, and peer pressure and intimidation, where there were those folks that wanted to worship, but they wouldn't worship because the people they were associating with weren't worshiping. Do we not pray because we think we don't have time to pray? But we'll make time for other things. And I'm not meddling tonight. I want there just to be some thought-provoking, because we need to be approved unto God. Vessels approved unto God. Because after all, He gives life, right? I don't answer prayers. Any of you answer prayers? He answers prayers, right? I could be a vessel He could use for blessings, but I'm not the ultimate blesser, right? You're not the ultimate blesser. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm a worshiper. Vessels approved unto God. The Bible says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves God approved. Notice this, the Amplified Version. Tested by trial. Do we cherish our salvation? Do we look for ways to be a witness or share the gospel? Romans tells us, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Have we become casual with our relationship with God? What does our relationship with God look like outside the church? Do we find ourselves searching the scriptures and hearing the preaching and teaching, and then asking non-believers for advice about our life? That, and the advice they give us is contrary to the Word of God? How's that working out for us? Right? How about this? Are we embarrassed by holiness, or are we pursuing holiness? Is holiness something that is just for those that want to be in leadership, but not something we strive for? Bible tells us, be holy for I am holy. We want to be vessels approved unto God. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy, right around verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one of them nameth of Christ apart from iniquity. But in that time, the seal of a person was their word, was their law, was their covering. Especially in Roman times, nobody would ever break the seal of the Romans. We have been bought with a price. We have the seal of God, the name of Jesus over us. He purchased us. Anything that we want, or anybody we want to approve of us, it ought to be of God. It ought to be His Word. He knoweth them that are His. Knoweth, to know. Does He know us? You may know Him, but does He know you? You ever make the statement to somebody? Do you know them? They're like, well, I know of them, but they probably don't know who I am. Right? Anybody know the CEO of your company? But they don't know you probably, right? In generality, just for application, Brother Carlos is like, I'm the CEO of my company. Amen. But let's think about that. If those of you that work in a large corp, do you know the CEO? You know who they are. You see their picture in the office, but they don't know you. That ought not to be with us with our relationship with the Lord. We ought to know Him, and He ought to know who we are. We have an instruction manual. Are we doing what the instruction manual says? I have a close friend. We used to be a lot closer. He was a youth pastor when I was in Kerman, Brother Adam Wiley. And we used to hang out a lot together. We lived around a block from each other. And we used to get home early from work and help each other mow one another's lawn and make dinner together and barbecue and make a potato gun together. And did I say that on video? Amen. But Brother Tony, praise the Lord. I'm one of those guys that if I bought something, if I look at the picture, I could probably put it together. That's just how I am. But Brother Wiley, Brother Adam Wiley, is one of those guys. He will open everything up, lay it all out. He won't even look at the picture. He'll just read the instructions. And in 20 minutes, he has it all put together. And 2 hours later, I'm with all these extra parts, and it's like all wobbly and falling apart. And he would always tell me, where's the instructions? Let's get the instructions. So I learned the hard way, right? Now, and then it got to a point where I would just buy it and he would just put it together and life was good. And I would just make him tacos. But I wonder how that is working out for some of us, that we have an instruction manual, but we're not using it, applying it, or reading it. Right? And we're seeking the approval of people that have a form of godliness, but they're not really godly. They have a form of religion, but they have no relationship. They may even be in this building, but they have no relationship with God. Are you going to search out vessels that are of earth, fleshly vessels? Or are you going to search out vessels that are gold and tried in the fire that will sustain whatever trial, tribulation, whatever God would send your way? What kind of vessel are we going to be? What? Because after all, we have His seal upon us. We need to be going to the Bible and heeding the word of the Bible. But Pastor, my advice recommendation came from someone that is spiritual, has wisdom in life, and more experiences than me. But if what they're telling you is contrary to the word of God, I got a verse for you in Galatians 1 and 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Whose approval are we seeking? That job may put food on the table, but don't let that job or career consume you. Whose approval are you seeking? You know, there was a point in time, give me maybe 10 more minutes tonight. There was probably 20 plus years ago, 21 years ago, I remember standing in the hallway of the home that my parents live in today. I only lived in that house maybe for 30 days or so. But not because they kicked me out, it's because I moved away. But I remember standing in the hallway of that home and going to a interview for a position of a job in a big corporation. And I was brought on to that company as a college recruit and an intern. And I got hired for a level, and I was looking to skip a bunch of levels and get promoted. I thought I was on the fast track. And I remember standing in the hallway of my parents' home, and my dad, he's a pastor, Brother Robert, schooling me. Basically telling me, you're not going to get that position. Not going to happen. Because my attitude and my spirit was wrong and my motive was wrong. He shared a Bible verse with me. I thought I put it in here, but maybe I didn't. I did. Psalm 75 and 6. And he quotes this Bible verse to me. He says, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up one another. And he was right, Sister Ellen. I didn't get the job. In fact, it didn't work out for me too good at that company. But like I told you, I learned the hard way, right? I was seeking the approval of man. I wanted to please man. I wanted to please those that I thought were the important people. And I learned right away where my bread was buttered. I understood godly principles, but sometimes you think you know better, right? Sometimes you say, well, this is just the way it is. If I work hard and, you know, things will pan out. Psalmist says, for promotion cometh from God. God is the judge. So I ask us, do we crave attention or of people that are in position or title or outside the church? Do we seek the affirmation or the approval of the ungodly for our life? Do we buy things to be approved by people? When is the last time we prayed and really meant, God, not my will, but thy will be done? When was the last time we read our Bible and said, God, speak to me. I'm reading this because this is manna for my soul. When was the last time we understood and we put action into 2 Corinthians 10 and 18? It says, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You want God to write an accommodation letter for you. You want the approval of God. You want him to be your reference. Just think about that. We're vessels approved unto God. We're the holder of truth, the anointings, the blessings, salvation of mercy and talents and revelation. We got to stay above the carnal mindset. We have to live above the temptations of this world. Don't yield to the path of sinners. Solomon has some tremendous wisdom for us in Proverbs 1 and 10. In fact, if you're taking notes, I'm not going to even get to my second point, but if you're taking notes, read Proverbs 1 tonight, or even read from Proverbs 1:10-15. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Notice he says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let's swallow them up alive as in the grave and whole. And those that go down in the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have all one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Are we seeking the approval of the carnality and the flesh and the wickedness and the vices of this world? Are we seeking the approval of what our bank account says or our credit score? Are we even seeking the approval of pastor? We ought to seek the approval of God. Amen. Be vessels approved unto God. There's something that we have to understand, if Sister Ellen would come, that God cannot do. God, and the scripture tells us in Hebrews 6 and 18, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we have to understand that. If God says something is a sin, it's a sin. Doesn't matter if they look at you and say, well, I've been doing it my whole life and I go to church and look at the house that I got and my pastor's okay with it. If God says something's a sin, if the Word of God says it's a sin, it's a sin. There's a distinction between men's apparel and ladies' apparel. It doesn't matter what other people say, well, my interpretation is this and that. Hey, it's a sin. Some things, there's just no way around it. It's a sin. But if God says, if you do something, I'm going to bless you. If he says, love this and I'll rain blessings upon you, God can't lie. God won't lie. It's not in his nature to lie. If the word of the Lord says trust God, then we need to trust God and not anything else or anyone else. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, for some of the promises of God are in him, and yea, all. Somebody say all. All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God. Anybody have a promise that the Lord has promised you, right? Amen. He said, Acts 2, for the promise unto all that are far, that's a promise tonight. Amen. In him are all the promises, yes, and amen. So I ask us tonight is, do we have a diligence every single day? I understand you say, Pastor, well, we're here on Wednesday. I get it. I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. This is instruction. This is admonition. What does tomorrow look like? What does Friday look like? What does Sunday night look like? When you're trying to weigh in and say, well, are we going to Sunday night service or not? What does our prayer time look like? What does our repentance look like? What does our stewardship look like? What does our inward holiness and our outward holiness look like? What does our bank account tell about us? Right? Do we have unfeigned faith? And no matter what we're going through, I'm a vessel and I'm seeking the approval of God. I know you signed my check, sir, but what you're asking me to do is illegal and unethical.
Amen.
And against the word of God. It is what it is. I leave the door open when I communicate with some folks because I'm going to flee fornication. Right? Sinners entice thee, I'm not going to consent. Entice all you want, I'm not going to consent because I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel that I want Him to fill my heart, my life with His Spirit, His glory, His blessing. I need and I want the favor of God, not just in me, but to flow through me. We stand tonight. So what approval have we been seeking? What struggles? What blessings are lingering in the atmosphere? What prayers? What promises have not been answered yet? Whose report will you believe? Whose approval are you seeking? I pray that we were challenged tonight, convicted, edified. I hope there was something stirred up in us, that you hear this message when you're driving down the road, or you're in a business meeting, or you're in class, and saying, "You know, I'm seeking the approval of God. I don't know about all these other people, but I'm seeking the approval of God."
Amen.
Can we find a place to pray this evening? We take the next 10 minutes or so and create an altar call experience in this place. Whether your neighbor comes to pray with you, whether they lift their voices, would you begin to pray? Would you begin to pray? Talk to the Lord. Seek His approval. We need His Spirit to pour out in us and through us. I want God to approve of my life. I want God to approve of my desires and ambitions. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying seek ye first the kingdom of God. Pursue Him. Whether those other folks that live in your home want to serve the Lord with all diligence, you seek the approval of God. I pursue Him. I pursue Him. Children may quit. Husbands may fail. You may have to go through some trials. But oh God, I'm seeking Your approval. You define me, God. I'm not defined by the status quo of this world, the norms of this world, God. I'm defined by the Word of God. Oh, Jesus. Help me, God. You mold me to be the vessel, the holder, the container of Your glory, the holder, the container of Your anointing, God. Help me, God, to remember that I have Your seal on me. I'm going to call myself apostolic Pentecostal, and I need to have power and demonstration of my walk with You. If I'm going to call myself a Christian, then I need to have the characteristics of a Christian. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to have the fruit of the Spirit. Be approved by You, Lord.